Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, we're doing a deep dive into mental mastery in marriage. I have spoken to this before, but it bears repeating again and again and again and again. Repetition is mastery. It's so important to gain conscious control over your thinking. Thinking is one of our key four creative tools that we use to create the life around us. Now, of course, the topic we're talking about is our marriage, our intimate relationship with our queens, and our married life beyond that. I sort of separate those. Deep intimacy and marriage, that's like a one-to-one union together. But married life is everything beyond that. So every single one of you kingly men listening in, I mean, it's your whole life's existence. Because, you know, married life is an ecosystem that includes yourself, your beautiful queen. Very often, majority of the time, there's going to be kids, there's work, there's hobbies, there's needs, there's activities, there's spiritual endeavors, there's adventures. It's the whole lot. That's a fucking awesome, awesome challenge. Touch base with yourselves. Like, who out there, put your hands up, like, energetically, or if you want to play along with me and, like, make this, like, an active listening, like, literally put your hand up. It's like, just fucking own it, like we're in men's circle together. Who here listening in today, yes, you, I'm talking to you individually and you all collectively, who here, put your hands up, who here acknowledges it's an immense challenge to get the entire ecosystem of your needs, your wishes, your wants, your desires, your everything, you, your unique your needs as a man, plus the needs of your woman, plus the needs of your kids, plus the needs of everything you have to interact with and deal with in your married life and in all the incredible roles that you do along with your wife, kids. Like, it's immense. I don't know. Like, the only guys that, you know, haven't put their hand up, you clearly had some fucking accident. You know, when you're younger and a train ran over your arms, you don't have hands. Like, I'm being like, that's maybe a gruesome one. And if that's you, man, I apologize wholeheartedly for using dark humor. But you get my point. If you're not putting your hand up, I'm like, well, what the fuck are you listening to this podcast for? Like, I don't know. I say it before, you know, it's like, reach out, email me. I want you to coach me if you don't find that an intense challenge. I'm deep diving into this shit the last 4 years, like obsessing about it. I study it, I live it, I have my practices. I find it an intense challenge every single day. Now, I'm learning to meet that challenge. That's a different thing. But this episode is about that, meeting the mental challenge set before us as men. I mentioned that just going a bit of a tangent there. I mentioned the four key tools that we have: thinking, talking, and taking action. The foundation underneath all of those is your emotional state. So thinking, talking, taking action, and your emotional state sort of feeds it all. Technically speaking, state creates story. So the emotion that's kicked off first, but it can be from a trauma-informed perspective, like the emotion gets kicked off in a nanosecond of you being triggered in conflict with your woman. It's easier, albeit really challenging, it's easier to catch your thinking. Your style of thinking will reflect the emotional state that was triggered. But it's an immense challenge. So we're going to be talking about that. If you can get control over the quality of your thinking, that informs, think about it guys for a moment, your thinking, like, doesn't your thinking inform what you're going to talk about, what you're going to say to your wife? So if you've poor quality thinking, that's going to be poor quality words coming out your mouth. And your thinking also informs your taking action. You know, if you have a thought like, fuck her, I'm going out the doors, like, that's it, but, like, enough. You know, it's like, that's going to inform your taking action. Or it could be like, I can't take this anymore. Like, you know, I mean, the pain of this every evening, and you go to the fridge and you get, like, you know, too many beers, and you've been doing that for years. I mean, your thinking is informing your taking action. So you can see how gaining mastery over your thinking is absolutely essential. In this episode, I was inspired deeply by a quote by Joseph Campbell. I'm going to read the quote. Sort of, it's not central, but it's definitely an inspiring point that kicked a lot of these reflections off for me. His quote is this: "If you want resurrection, you must have crucifixion." Dot dot dot. There was a bit in between. I got to the next part. The hoarder, the one in us that wants to keep, to hold on, must be killed. End quote. Let's repeat. If you want resurrection, you must have crucifixion. The hoarder, the one in us that wants to keep, to hold on, must be killed. I love Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell, if those of you, if you're unaware, I probably have mentioned him before. He's a masculine master. I love the dude. I think he's passed away at this point. But he was like a really famous mythologist. He came up, not that he came up with it, but like, I think he coined the term the hero's journey. He noted that all the mystical traditions, all the indigenous tribes, all the stories of humanity had these core elements to them that were patterns that each story and all of these parts spoke to the human soul, you know, brought the best out in us. So what he's talking about here is, like, if you want resurrection, you must have a crucifixion. So there's some crucifixion, you need to crucify a part of you to step into your power, the resurrected part of you, the rebirth of you, the reawakening of you into your fullest power as a king, as an heroic husband, like, to use what we're talking about here, like the whole point of that, like you're really wanting to experience this resurrection of your kingliness. There's some part of you must be killed. Now, I'll talk about it. I don't really believe in the whole thing being killed. Or if it's killed, it's over a long, 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 long period of time. I don't find it works that you go against some part of you. That part has been there. It has kicked off in childhood to protect you. So I'm not from a conscious perspective. Now, I'm fucking badass. You'll hear in this episode, I don't mind. I actually actively encourage that you take command over your inner mental state in a no bullshit, you know, leadership perspective. But you don't want to go against it to the point that you're thinking it's wrong. That's just more shame. So it doesn't work. The hoarder in this quote, the hoarder, that the one that wants to keep, to hold on, that Joseph Campbell is saying must be killed. What I'm talking to and pointing to in you and I as husbands is that part of us, and it's still alive in me, by the way. I just want to own this, like, straight off. My practice, when I'm going to be talking with you today, that's my practice: omnipresent in conversation with my queen, in conversation with my kids, actually in conversation in life. This is a life practice, but we'll put it through the wash of, you know, the marriage context. This is my daily spiritual practice. But the hoarder in me and the hoarder in you is that part that wants to hold on to stories of blaming your wife in moments of conflict, or shaming yourself in moments of conflict. Like, when you get into a struggle or conflict in marriage, like, it goes into overdrive, right? That part of your mind that, you know, it's like, oh, you know, fuck her, you know, like, oh, Jesus, oh, she's, you know, and this river of judgments comes out. Oh, I can't believe she's giving me shit about that again. And then, like, it goes to, she might have pointed out something in you, and you might, like, grudgingly sort of accept on some level, say, okay, I did that. But you did that thing last week. You know, there's this attack mode, there's this blaming mode, or the shaming mode is against yourself. It's like, you know, you just start beating the shit out of yourself. Again, I'm aware that I've spoken this before, but you can't have enough reminders of this. You really can't. This is like one of the core spiritual practices to regaining control of your life in what you're creating on your outside. So it's absolutely essential. Because, blaming and shaming, they're escape doors. If you think about it, we escape from the intensity of what is being put to us in a moment of conflict. You know, there's this relief that being right gives us psychologically on the inside. You know, you've all felt that. It's like, if you can go, your woman gives you, says something to you. But if you have, a knee-jerk sort of fuck you response, it's like, hey, well, screw you because you did this. Or, how dare you say that? You'll avoid what she's saying to you. But it's just like, hey, I've been showing up for the kids the last, 2 weeks. Like, you haven't been doing it. There's this sedating relief that we get from just firing shit back at her verbally or mentally. Remember, it's the two creative tools, the thinking and the talking. Talking obviously mirrors the thinking, so they're sort of interchangeable in this thing, but it's ultimately on the level of thought. You want to get it at the level of thought. Why? Because it's obvious. If you can catch this at the level of thought and it prevents you speaking the damaging words on the outside, you're ahead of the game. So there's this escape. Now, what I want to bring back in is a really important metaphor that is arguably one of the most important metaphors for our entire movement here at Be the Husband She Brags About. It's arguably the most important metaphor, not only for marriage, but I would say for life. It's the metaphor of the storm. The storm, classically in masculine, feminine, spiritual teachings, is one of the most common metaphors for representing the feminine. The feminine, 90% of the time, the feminine pole in a relationship is going to be, more inherently within your woman. But it's also the feminine, represents the unpredictability of life, the unboxable nature of life that you ultimately can't control. We pretend to control it. Masculine guys, we try to control nature, we try to control life, we try to control work, we try to control everything. And there's an amazing part of our expression thing that can sort of nudge towards that. But there is this core part of your woman that is unboxable, untamable, unpredictable, and it's so sacred. From a sacred perspective, you don't want to ever try to control that part because you won't feel seen, heard, and safe. But the storm represents the feminine core of your woman. Now, the feminine core of your woman is like pure emotionality, intense emotionality. It's the part that we sort of fear the most because why? It triggers the feminine in us. It triggers our emotionality. It triggers our fears of rejection. It triggers our inadequacies. It triggers all of this, the grief and the shame and resentment and the fury in us. And we get really uncomfortable with it. But let's imagine, if I'm on a Zoom call with you, I asserted this can work a bit better. But imagine center of the screen on a Zoom call together. I'm assuming most guys, have had that experience at this point in the last couple of years. But at the center of the screen, my hand is representing that's the storm, center of the screen. And my other hand is sort of going in and out. It goes towards the storm at the center of the screen. And then it nudges, it goes away from my hand at the center representing the storm. Just visualize this. And it goes to the edge of the screen. And it goes beyond the screen. And going beyond the screen, that's it. It's not in any contact with the storm anymore. So the hand that's going from the edge of the screen to the center, to the storm represented by my hand in the center of the screen, that hand is you. You can go towards the storm or you can go away from the storm. So with that bit of a visual locked in your mind, keep that visual there. There are two points of relief from the intensity of a storm. Now this is literal, a literal storm. If you have a fucking typhoon, what do you call them, hurricane, there are two points of relief. One point of relief is if you move consistently away from the center of the storm, you will get to some point that's like the off-screen point on a Zoom call. When that hand goes to the off-screen, that part represents you get so far away from the storm that you're not feeling any of the wind off it. You're not feeling any of the debris being flung away. You're not. You're out of the danger zone completely. If you get far enough away, like, you're just not feeling anything. You're not even aware that there's a storm where you are because you're that far from the center of it. If you want to say, like, that's divorce, albeit, you know, divorce, there's a lot of entanglement that goes on probably for a lifetime with that. So in some ways you mightn't get away from it at all together. But you sort of know what I mean. It's like if you leave the house, if you just go fuck off to a different state, set up a new life, new job, new, you know, whatever, on your terms, that sort of represents, you know, getting away from the storm. And hey, can be a valid point of relief. Well, we're here, like, in the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast, like, the point is not to take that option. That doesn't mean it's immoral, doesn't mean it's wrong. Some of you guys have taken that choice before. There's no morality at all in anything I'm saying. I'm just saying it's like the reason that you're here, the reason I'm here is like, is to do the opposite, which is like not to avoid it completely. But we end up in that pattern where as men, we want to be in marriage, but our tendency is like in conflict, in intense emotional moments, in conversations where it's like, you know, it's stirring up stuff, it's stirring up her emotionality, your emotions are being stirred up. Our knee-jerk reflex is to move away from the storm to gain relief. Is that true for you? Again, hand up, you know, if you want to just remain like just really proactive in this. It's true for all men that are struggling in marriage. Like, it is. And it's true for myself. I still have to be aware. It's like when I back off, I'm like, ah, okay, I'm backing off, you know, and I see it in my wife's face, and my practice is to just like catch that as soon as possible and then embrace the storm. The second point, and like this is so revelatory, like this changed my entire perspective on life, because I just, the intense thing is that when you do the opposite, and we all try and do the opposite, we try to meet our wives in conflict, and it's like, and we face the storm and we face it, and we answer and we try to get our truth out, and you're facing that storm, but the more you try to get your truth out, the more you try, you like stick with the argument, you stick with your perspective, you're trying, like you're really trying to just go at it. You're in moments when we don't avoid the conversation, we go at it, it gets more and more intense. The closer you get, the more you own your side, your truth, it gets really, really, really intense. So we learn to go, man, there's no relief, and we back off. And sometimes we get into patterns of avoidance, or the conflict comes up cyclically. We go at it, it's super intense, but the relief is, okay, just go at it for several hours, bit of makeup sex, forget about the next morning. But that background resentment comes because you both know that you've backed off. That's the classic thing. Going towards the storm, the point of relief in the storm is that if you can march towards the storm, at the center of the storm, there's incredible relief. There's no wind at the center of it. It's actually profoundly peaceful at the center of the storm. And that is where your woman meets you in ecstasy and bliss, because she knows you've been a king to get in there. But you cannot get relief from that storm. You cannot meet your woman ever. She will not let you close enough to get there. She will destroy you with the violence of her emotionality. And the feminine gets really violent. It's a violent force when she's not feeling safe, she's not feeling seen, and she's not feeling heard. She, it's a natural, beautiful response. You can go with victim mentality and go, she shouldn't give me that shit. Like, I mean, I need to be seen and I need to be heard as well. And I need to feel safe. And like, she like fires and she says these god awful things. It's like, dude, I get it. And like, to some point, like, there should be some restraint. And if she's been highly abusive physically, emotionally, like, et cetera, et cetera. Well, sometimes, you know, backing off in extreme circumstances. I mean, you don't want to hang around if you're getting way too much shit. But here's the thing. If you're in victimhood, there's a high level of shaming thoughts in you. There's deep levels of blaming thoughts in you, and you're never claiming your power. That's repulsive to her. Victim mentality, it goes on shame and blame. You've got to eradicate that. So if the feminine shitstorm is like quite violent with you in the extreme, you're playing a lot of, you're a leading creator in that situation. There's extreme ownership in this. I have 0% sympathy for whatever situation is showing up in your life. You're a core creator of that. So you're getting this, guys. The core relief of the storm that we want is at the center of the storm. It's in the eye of the storm. Because when you're in the eye of the storm, you're meeting your woman there. That's the most intimate space you can get to. That's the liberation of love in you and her. There's no deeper spiritual union. When you can go through the shitstorm of her challenging you, and you can practice what we're going to be talking today, which is not going with blame, not going with shame toss, and going with claim toss, you meet her there. And you earn the right for like her devotional love, the queenly devotional love, which is like the, oh man, it's the peak experience. It's an addiction. I'm addicted to it. I like Stephen Kotler. He speaks about flow. He's like, hey guys, when you get into flow, it becomes addictive. But it's a healthy addiction. It's an addiction to the beautiful feeling, oxytocin rush, the serotonin rush, the dopamine rush that comes when you win. You win big time as a man and you gain access to your woman's devotional love. But there's no gaining access to her devotional love through shaming thoughts and blaming thoughts. I want to make this really clear. This is like deep men's work. This is extreme ownership. I want to say a big hi to Andrew. You know who you are. I'm not mentioning a surname, just keep level of confidentiality, but you know who you are. We were on, I had a beautiful discovery call with Andrew yesterday, and we went into a passionate sharing of like our love for Jocko Willink and extreme ownership. Extreme Ownership is a book. Jocko Willink is an ex-Navy SEAL commander. He's a badass. He's teaching leadership around the world, and his core philosophy is extreme ownership. I was riffing on a wave of inspiration with Andrew yesterday about Extreme Ownership was the book that, like, pretty much I was voraciously reading that, rereading it, listening to it in Audible again and again and again and again during the time where, like, the shitstorm in my life, in my marriage, happened like 3.5-4 years ago, because it was extreme ownership. And this practice comes from extreme ownership. And there was this point where extreme ownership is like an immense challenge to go there. But when you take extreme ownership of your mental forces, your mental faculties, as expressed through your thinking, and you eliminate the sedating habit of going to blame, you eliminate shaming thoughts, and you just take extreme ownership. That's claiming thoughts, claiming your fullest power. Like, by asking the question, what am I not taking ownership for here? That's kingship. So from that extreme ownership perspective, and it's a high-end practice, it ain't easy, but man, blame and shame savagely corrodes your entire marriage. So, oh, it's a hard practice, but fuck me, guys. That's how it works. You know, it's like, do the hard things. And when you embrace the hard things in life, funny enough, good shit comes your way. Blame and shame is a boy energy. And the boy energy, again, it goes away from the feminine storm, because the boy energy is like, hey, mommy. You know, it's this, I do caricature it. And if I get a little bit like teasy with my energy, it's like, hey, and I face this thing, like I've been in men's work getting my ass grilled for 4 years now by some badass powerful dudes that like just didn't take any of my shit. Still, I get that on a weekly basis. All of this shit comes up. My blind spots where I'm unwittingly blaming Matilda or life, unwittingly shaming myself. You know, I have blind spots. I consistently get that practice of feedback. But that boy energy in you and in me, it's like this part of us. And it's important to know it's a part of us. It's not all of us. It doesn't monopolize you. But there's a part in you and there's a part in me that when we get triggered in conflict with a woman, it's like it goes to blame and shame, because it's like it's relating to our wives like they should be our mothers. From a psychotherapeutic perspective, if you go back and like, you know, you can close down to this, you can shut off and go, I don't like doing the past shit, like just give me the strategies. It's like, cool, dude, but I mean, that doesn't work. You gotta have the courage to fucking go where you don't want to go. This part, you're not working on your marriage here, you're working on you. This is the deep spiritual practice. So yeah, avoidance just won't be conducive. Like I say it quite often, and I don't mean to be triggering, but it's like, if you don't like taking responsibility, well, just maybe stop coming back to this podcast, because that's what it's about. It's 100% you taking ownership of your shit and just allow meeting your wife wherever she's at. It works. It's brutally effective. Blame and shame is boy energy. It's sort of like this entitled part. It's sort of like, mommy, you know, just love me for who I am. You know, it's like this, and we go into collapse. We get defensive, we get offensive, we get charged, we get judgmental, because it's like this boy is having a fit. He's having a tantrum on the inside. There's this energy of like, I just don't want to be taking this shit from you. And I don't want, you know, the boy goes with what he wants and doesn't want as the guide in life to getting what he wants in life. But it's the king, the king in you, and your practice in transforming your marriage is shifting into, it's not what I want or what I don't want that's the focus here. It's what I need to do. It's not what I want or what I don't want. That's the realm of the boy. That's the realm of the five-year-old in you. And we've all had shitty like things that happened to us via parents that mightn't believed in us, that slagged us, that bullied us, they abused us, they drank too much alcohol, they divorced, we went through severe trauma, blah, 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 blah. It's like, guys, and at some point, it's like, it's cool. We all had it. I had my shit. I don't have to ask you individually. If I was in a room off you, and I mean, like, there's hundreds off you, there's, like, immense numbers growing, I don't have to ask you. If you're all in the room, I'd be like, guys, I'd be looking you all individually in the eyes, like, I don't have to fucking ask any one of you. You've had tough shit that has happened to you growing up, yeah? Yeah, every head in the room is nodding. That's okay, it makes you human. It shapes you. But it's shifting out of the blame and shame boy energy, like, poor me, what happened to me, and I'm just going to blame the world and shame myself and to protect myself. No liberation comes from that. And definitely no marriage transformation. Claiming ownership of your thoughts, that's kingship. That's facing the storm. You face the storm and you start marching towards it. It's like incessantly asking, what am I not taking ownership for here? You know, oh, I went into defensive mode. Apologize. Hey, baby, I'm completely present with you. When you recognize your shaming thoughts and blaming thoughts, you own them, apologize, and keep stepping towards it. Now, if blame and shame is boy energy, it's sort of that resentful, entitled part of you that's like relating with your woman like she should be your mother. She should just love you. She should just be nice. She should just let you, you know, fucking latch on to her nipple and breastfeed on the happiness that she should be giving you, the nourishment she should be giving you, because you're relating to her as your mother. That's boy energy. It's fucking repulsive when I say it like that. Like most guys, when I say it like that and they're live in front of me, like a look of disgust comes in their face. But that's what 99.99% of us are doing in marriage to our women. We get really fucking pissed off and and the boy energy in us gets really upset and really ranty and really, I'm going to suck my thumb and sit in a fucking corner. And we're doing, that energy is coming through like a 30-year-old man, a 40-year-old, in a 40-year-old man's body, 50-year-old man's body. You get the point. Orders kingship, which is like strong spine. You're there. You're facing the storm. You're doing your self-mastery inner work. You're working with your thoughts, but you're there. Soft eye gaze on her. You're facing her up physically. Open-hearted posture. You know, you're there. Your voice is dropped in. You're breathing deep. My question to every single one of you listening in right now is this. If boy energy is blame and shame, and king energy is claiming ownership and, you know, owning all your shit, which of those two energies do you think turns your woman on? It's a hypothetical question, of course. It's fucking king energy or nothing. The most repulsive energy in marriage for your woman is your boy energy. It's repulsive. Let's not sugarcoat this shit. And like, do you have a need to be seen, to be heard, to feel safe? Do you have a feminine core of you that needs, you know, has a sacred need for, you know, you to have a safe space to be emotional, to get a bit messy? Yeah. Of course you do. But it's the ruination of your marriage if you put that role on your wife. Your wife is not the human to fucking heal your wounds. She's not your mother. You're not coming in with, you know, oh, mom, I fell off my bike. My knee is bleeding. Heal me. That was appropriate with your mother. You don't heal your emotional and psychological wounds. You don't put that expectation and you don't put that role on your wife. And if you are subconsciously, as 99.9% of guys in marriage do, unwittingly, it's okay. If you've been doing this, if you recognize, don't shame yourself. That's more fucking wound worshipping bullshit. Don't shame yourself, but recognize and go, fuck. Well, if blame and shame is boy energy, I've been showing up with a lot of fucking boy energy. And boy energy is not leadership. It's repulsive. If our women were in a culture like old days, where like the sacred feminine was like at the core of society, because they go into the underworld, they gift life through, you know, childbearing. I mean, they're phenomenally sacred. Go to old cultures. I mean, they're at the apex of society. The warrior man was the one that would lay his life down in defending the community. Not because the women were weak. It's because they were that precious. They were the ones that could childbear. They were the ones that kept the survival of that tribe uppermost. The men would willingly lay their lives down to protect, because they knew that was their most sacred role. But they came and they could do that willingly because they had such a sacred relationship with the feminine as represented in the bodies, in the spirit of their women. It was devotional love and it fucking worked. But we're a billion miles off that in how we have been conditioned by a bullshit, profoundly sick modern society. End of rant on profoundly sick society. But are you getting the depth of where you need to start coming from? Kingship and owning and mastering, shifting your mental thoughts from blame and shame to claiming radical ownership. That's what turns your woman on. That's what makes her feel radical levels of safety around you. From there, she'll open her heart, open the hardness of her nervous system up to you again. Like butter melting in the proverbial sun, guys. But it won't melt. A lot of you, like my woman for many years, a lot of your women have hardened up, have they not? They're not sexually receptive. They're not emotionally receptive to you. You know, maybe some of them have stopped our arguments. They've just said, enough, I can't take the pain of trying to get you to connect with me, to share yourself with me. A lot of women are at that point. alarm bells, guys. It's not fear mongering. Divorce, separation. You don't want her to get to that point where she has reflected on divorcing and separating for you for more on average for 2 years. You don't want her to get that far. It's still possible. If some of you guys are listening in, I want you to know it's still possible, but like your practice has to be radical. It's one-on-one coaching. It's men's circle shit. So here's reflection time. I have done this several months ago, but I want you, like the new guys coming in, to do this practice. What's your blame, shame, claim, conflict ratio? This is one of the most telling self-reflective exercises I do with guys in one-on-one coaching. I do with guys in, we'll be doing it with every single guy in Heroic Husbands men's circles. You need to know and be really radically honest. No bullshit, no sugarcoating. What your blame, shame, claim, conflict ratio is. So do this, like lean into this fire, guys. I want you to get this answer in yourselves. Again, no fucking bullshit passive listening in. Listen to other entertaining podcasts. This is not, we're not here for entertainment. Albeit it can be quite entertaining, actually, when you really lean into the pressure of this. Like, it's fucking super entertaining because you realize the greatest entertainment in life is your soul liberated, you on fucking fire as a liberated love machine in your marriage. There's no greater entertainment. The only reason we get addicted to entertainment is we want to live out through the fictitious entertaining lives of other people. It's fucking bullshit. The real entertainment, this is really spontaneous, but I'm feeling my heart and soul on fire. Guys, the biggest, most juicy entertainment in life is showing up as an heroic husband, leading your family, leading yourself in a profound practice of moment to moment daily self-mastery, and seeing your woman respond to you with sexual desire, with devotional love, because she's in the presence of a king, and seeing your kids begin slowly but surely to start relating to you as like the absolute only man in their existence that is worthy of such incredible devotional love and honor and respect and admiration, and yeah, the admiration of your friends around you. That's entertainment. Screw cable TV, screw all the different channels and shit that's out there that's like, oh, what a cool film, what a cool character. You're the fucking character of the greatest film in your life. It is your life, and your marriage is a core part of that story. So blame, shame, claim, conflict ratio. When you're in conflict with your queen, now talk about like a real shitty moment and get really honest. What percentage of your thoughts are blaming thoughts? They're against your woman, judging your woman, pointing out what she should be doing or shouldn't be doing. What percentage of your thoughts are shaming thoughts? Against you. I'm such a fucking asshole. Oh, I fucked up again, etc., etc. They're against you. And what percentage of your thoughts are claim thoughts? I'm going to be provocative here. A lot of guys, you're going to hear a lot of guys be like, oh man, like there's a lot of blame there. Like 60% blame and probably 20% shame. And yeah, claim 10, 20%. You know, it's like some guys will lean more into shaming. You know, it's like, oh man, I hammered the shit out of myself. I'm 24/7 there. Like I'm 70% shaming myself. I'm 10, 20% blaming her. And there's a little bit of claiming thoughts. If you truly have claiming thoughts, they would transform everything. I would challenge you on like the whole claiming thoughts. You might be making attempts. There might be some thoughts there. I get that. There might be some attempts and intentionality. Like a real potent claim thought that is gone with changes everything. But by and large, just the majority of you will be like, it's predominantly blaming and shaming. True. Again, I don't even have to have your like you visually in front of me. I know it's true because it's hundreds of guys I've asked this question to. And when there's a no bullshit safe zone, like there is in deep coaching and men's circles, it's like, of course, guys, we start fucking laughing because we know it. We're a river of shit, of shitty thoughts in those moments. And that's okay. The main thing to note in this is like, I want you to know, like, this is at the core of your experience as a man in the universe. is there's a direct correlation between the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your marriage. Now, you can go general, there's a direct correlation in the quality of your thoughts and the quality of your lived daily experience. You can do the same for business. You get the point. This is like a universal truth. If you try to avoid this and salvage your marriage, you're doomed to failure. If you try to, resurrect your business fortunes and you avoid this, you're doomed for failure. You get the point. The quality of your thoughts determines the quality of your lived experience. The quality of your thoughts in conflict with your woman determines the quality of your marriage. So, let's jump into the blame, shame, turnaround practice. Building lots of juicy context. You know me at this point, guys. It's real. We go deep. We drill really fucking deep because, hey, it's too much of the rational-minded thing. Oh, just give me the practice, man. It's like just give me the 3 steps. I'll do it by myself. It's lone wolfing. It's like why I go slow and deep. It's like slow down to speed up. It's because it's essential that your nervous system gets marinated again and again and again in multiple of these different reflections and questions, and it that you feel the punch in your stomach of, oh man, boy energy, fuck, it's all over. Oh, blame and shame, I'm at that the whole time. It becomes an emotional experience. I don't go to the simple, oh, the blame, shame, turnaround practice. Man, it takes 5 minutes to tell you that. But there's no fucking part of your nervous system will actually do it unless you pay the price to go through the no man's land of like deepening why it's so important. The why is when you know why it's so important and you know the all-pervasive nature of how blaming and shaming doesn't fucking work and how there's an all-pervasive pattern in your marriage thus far where in conflict you're blaming her, you're judging her, you're beating the shit out of yourself. You realize and you take that in yourself. That builds readiness to go, okay, enough. It's that part, Joseph Campbell, if you want resurrection, let's say if you want resurrection in marriage, you must have a crucifixion of that part. Maybe I mightn't agree fully that it must be killed, but it definitely in this practice you're gonna sh I'm gonna show you don't have to kill it, but you do have to command that part of yourself. Okay, the blame, shame, turnaround practice. As I say, I wouldn't go as far to go about that killing it is necessary, because in reality, that part of you learned to blame others at a very young age. Go back to childhood, you learn to start blaming others and to shame yourself because when you didn't have much conscious control over your environment, you're a part of your mind had to find creative ways to find relief, to dampen the shock of sudden attacks on your personhood. So it's like if you could take, if your dad was abusive, but if you internally, maybe externally as you grew older, you started blaming him and attacking him when like maybe you were physically able. This is like a classic thing. But like early on, oh, he'd abuse you physically, verbally, and your mother could be doing it as well. Whatever, it's like we all went through traumas. But when nasty shit came your way, we form a very creative mental strategy, which is blaming them. Because when you can blame others, you can go, well, fuck him, like, I mean, he's useless at work. He's saying I'm useless at homework. He's saying I'm stupid, but like, look at him, dumb fuck. He's useless at work. Like, mom is always complaining. He doesn't bring home enough money. We form a blame strategy to take the sting out of an attack on us. It's like, hey, like, fuck you. Like, look at the shit in your life. So we form that early on, and it's like, shit with siblings, shit with parents, shit with like a teacher that bullied you, somebody that sexually abused you. You can blame life actually, like if somebody close to you died, or you never got to know your dad, you know, you can blame life. You can just start, oh, life is shit. And you have this relationship with life that you blame it. That protects a hurting heart. It protects us from the severity of hurting and feeling the depth and profundity of that hurt when we didn't have the tools as a 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old, younger, a little bit older as well, of course. And the shaming thoughts, it's this weird thing, but it does bring a sense of control. If I can beat the shit out of myself and criticize myself by default before others get the chance, well, I've actually brought a sense of control into the feeling. It doesn't feel good, but you know, if I set the point that I just shame myself and I learn to criticize myself, because when you're in radically unsafe emotional environments growing up, shaming yourself is a key protective strategy, because they're going to attack me anyway. But if I keep myself down here, well, I won't experience the horrifying nature of a sudden drop in feeling good, and then they drop me. I'll keep myself down here so I don't have to feel like the base jump experience without a parachute of them suddenly attacking me when I was feeling really fucking good about myself. It makes sense. But that part will remain in you. If, like, I was talking with Dewey Freeman there a couple of weeks ago. A lot of you have listened in. He's fucking badass. Like, Dewey, I don't know what age. He's an elder. He's been in deep men's work for 30, could be 40 years. He's 80,000 hours of, like, gestalt therapy with people. He's a fucking grade A badass. Dewey was saying he still has parts of his mind that comes up, like, of abandonment issues when, you know, he felt abandoned by his mother. He was separated from his mother, like, back in childhood for a number of months. That still comes up. So you're not trying to kill this part, guys. That's just unnatural. It's not going to happen. But you've got to learn to live with that and form a relationship that part in you does not run your life. I want to, like, prepare you for this. You know me, there's a part of me that gets consciously aggressive with deep spiritual work. It's warrior style, no fucking bullshit. Imagine, like, the Jocko Willink. You're a commander in, you know, in a war-torn zone. It's a battlefield. It's literal life and death. Like, there's a part of us that has to get no bullshit. The boy energy doesn't like that, because it's like, that's too much responsibility. But I'm talking about the king in this. It's consciously aggressive. I talk about ferocious love and acceptance. It's a practice of ferocious love and acceptance. It's like, yeah, it's taking unapologetic command of your psyche. So the point number one of the blame, shame, turnaround practice is this. You've got to become aware. And it's learning what I would call, like, black belt level mental awareness to be able to recognize the shaming. And the shaming and blaming part is trying to steer the vehicle of your mind. That recognizing and becoming aware, waking up in the moment of conflict and going, oh, they're blame thoughts. Them thoughts, they're all against my woman. They're judgmental. They're blame thoughts. There's no practice until you become aware. So that's the first most important part of any spiritual practice, is awareness. Recognizing, I'm in blame mode. Or alternatively, I'm in shame mode. I'm, like, beating the shit out of myself. I'm head down, I'm blaming myself, I'm calling myself, like, this and that. Really self-derogatory shit. I'm in shame mode. So number one is recognizing in the moment of conflict. Am I in blame mode? Am I in shame mode? Step two is recognize, like, accept fundamentally in all of this, that's a part of you. That's not all of you. It tries to monopolize your entire being. But it's just a part of you. It's that boyish part of you that's like, oh, I'm just going to protect myself by blaming my woman. Nothing will ever good of it. She blocks her heart off even more, but I feel right, so I'm going to continue. It's fucking boyish bullshit. And shame is the same thing. It's a strategy from our childhood. It does not work in marriage. So the king in us goes, it doesn't fucking work. You're not running. You're not steering this bus. You're not at the helm of this ship. So point two, once you recognize point two, I'm going to give this like a bit of language so you can hear me, guys. Like, trauma-informed teachers would fucking strip me bare and spank my ass in public for fucking, they'd give me 20 lashes in a public square in the conscious communication community. Conscious relating. You don't speak like this. So I'm just saying this, but I'm adding this to light up your masculine core, that no bullshit sort of Navy SEAL commander archetype that's in you. I'm consciously doing it for that. So it's not tidy language, and I know the fucking conscious relating world would whip my ass for it, but I couldn't give a fuck. This is like masculine radical ownership, full style. We gotta get fucking no bullshit in the language. Point two is, when you recognize that part of blaming and shaming, you ruthlessly rip that motherfucker out of the driving seat and strap it into the back seat of the car and tell it to shut the fuck up. Are you with me on this? This is the part of you, let's just have context here, guys. This is the part of you that drives your woman away from you. This is the part of you that when it takes over your driving your ship in moments of conflict and blames her and shames yourself, it repulses your woman. It alienates her heart from yours. She cannot feel you anymore. She's radically unsafe. And at some point, she starts looking for the escape door. She looks for the fire door. She's like, there's a fire burning down this house. At some point, I don't want to get burned anymore. At some point, she must. So blame and shame thoughts ruin your marriage. You cannot afford to have like an easy go. But we'll semi-accept him. You cannot. 99% is a bitch, 100% is a breeze. What I mean by that is 100% all in. It's like, blame and shame thoughts. I'm just not fucking tolerating them. I'm not going with them. It's 100% claim. It's easier than, well, I leave a little bit of a window for a little bit of blame and a little bit of shame because I sort of like them. They feel familiar. No, they'll take over the whole shop. If they get one finger on the steering wheel, they'll take over the whole boat again and have it crashing into the port of your beautiful marriage. It's a highly destructive part. So that's why I say, it's like, fucking badass style. I use this language. Ruthlessly rip the motherfucker out and put him back. Put that part back. Stick a fucking suitor in its mouth if it won't shut up. And go, dude, I'm strapping you in. You're allowed to be part of the vehicle of my mind. But you never get your hands on the steering wheel. You might express at moments from the back seat. But hey, you don't do that in moments of conflict because that damages the relationship between myself and my queen. And I'm here as a king with the only conscious intention and vision, which is to become the marriage transforming hero of my relationship. And I can only do that by answering one question, which is point number three. Number three, you've already told that part with ferocious love to shut the fuck up. It's sitting in the back seat. It's in shock, but it's there. It knows, that part of you knows. It's like, oh fuck, the king, I'm being called out. The boyish part, it's a very weak part, guys. So it would, when you give it a direct command, it'll fucking sit there and shut up. But you got to command that part of you. Recognize it's a part of you. Recognize you're the king. You're the witnessing awareness. You're the conscious presence that's looking at all of these parts of your mind. You consciously tell it to shut the fuck up. And then you ask this one question. What am I not taking extreme ownership of right now? Literally. It's that simple. What am I not taking extreme ownership of right now? It shifts your mind into your 100%. Remember, I remind you again and again, repetition is mastery. This is essential. This is the one foundation for transforming your marriage, becoming the badass that you were born to be. 100%, 100%. You completely take all your focus off what your woman's 100% is. I know she has lots of shit that she fires your way. I know she has lots of ways she shows up that ain't so good for the relationship. But if you keep your focus on that, you have no control over her. And funnily enough, ask this question. Has blaming your woman and pointing out her pitfalls, her downfalls, her shit that she hasn't got together, has blaming her verbally ever worked to bring her closer to you? It's another fucking hypothetical question, of course. It has never worked in the history of marriages to blame your woman externally and have her go, "Oh man, thank you for adorning me with such judgment. Thank you, thank you, thank you." It doesn't fucking work, guys. Like, we all have rational minds here. Nature nurture, a profoundly sick society, drove us into the unfeeling part of our minds, which is our rational minds as men. Predominantly 80-85% of guys identify with the magician archetype driving our lives the most. That's our rational mind. The rational mind is simple. It wants to know how to solve problems. And when your rational mind, guys, recognizes shame and blame never works. I'm just challenging the king in you, the conscious awareness, to get no bullshit about it and go, hey, if it never fucking works, and it never does for any man in the history of marriages, that blaming and shaming has brought about deep connection and love and devotional love, has inspired devotional love from your woman. It never has, ever. Well, maybe I should stop going to blame and shame. Maybe it's time to stop. And I know a lot of you guys are in really low scores out of 10 about your, you know, whole marriage life fulfillment, your sex life. Low scores, a lot of guys. I know, and like, this is okay. This just, it's human. Man, my marital scores were fucking shit, like, up until a few years ago. I actually was overemphasizing. I thought I was bullshitting myself. I was would have given myself a 6, 7 out of 10 for marriage scores. My wife's heart was a 0 out of 10. Funnily enough, it happens like that. I want you to be really fucking clear with yourselves. If you're at low scores out of 10, emergency bells need to go. And if you're not so low out of 10, you need to ask the question, how's my wife feeling? What would she score her marriage, her experience of marriage with me, her experience of communication with me, her sexual experience, her sex life with me? How would she score those parts out of 10? You're going to find that a lot of you, if you're really fucking honest, it's very, very low. I'm telling you, there's alarm bells. And all of that, all of her lower scores, circle around what? If you've been listening in, what does it circle around? What creates those low scores in her nervous system, where her nervous system is like, I just don't like being around this guy anymore? Blaming and shaming. You not gaining mastery over blaming and shaming, and it's predominantly that's what happens in conflict, which means there's a background residue of resentment even when times are good, and it's like you get into that conflict pattern, and she doesn't want to do conflict, she doesn't want to communicate, she blocks her heart off, and man, it's unhappily ever after or divorce. And I think unhappily ever after together is worse than divorce, but it's like both are completely unfucking necessary, completely unnecessary. If you have the cock and balls energy, if you have the courage. You don't have to have the confidence, remember? It's no confidence is necessary. Confidence, your confidence will build over time. But if you have the courage, and you do, guys, you're listening into this. If you're listening into these episodes, you've got uncommon levels of courage. The majority of husbands out there don't have the courage to listen into this high flame sort of approach. Some guys will be repulsed when they realize how much ownership I am saying you need to take to transform your marriage. They'll back off. If you're listening in and you're like, there's your masculine core turned on, sort of going, yeah man, you know, like fist pump time, yeah, I fucking, this is what I need, man, because there's a part of your spiritual truth sort of coming through, going, it's not what Marcus, like what Mark is just saying, what he's saying, but it's resonating true within me, which means it's not what Mark is saying is true. It's like there's a truth in me that resonates. It's my truth is being represented, is being triggered. I'm remembering the truth that's in me. That is the spiritual practice, guys. That's what happens in these episodes. That's why so many of you, like growing numbers of amazing, courageous men around the planet, husbands around the planet, are listening in. Because there's a part of you that's coming back to life. There's a core part of you. The boy has been showing up in marriage. That's okay. That's why your marriage is the state it's in. Hiding behind blame and shame. But it's like the king in you is like filing this fiery growl, this rising hope and courage in you that you can fucking do it, and you can. But this practice is crucial. Number one, become aware, recognize shaming and blaming thoughts in your head. Number two, ruthlessly rip that part out, away from the steering wheel of your mind. Like, deny it oxygen. Put it to the back seat, stick a fucking suitor in its mouth and tell it to shut the fuck up. It doesn't get to drive the ship or steer the car in conflict in with your woman. She's precious. She's your goddess. She's your queen. She's like the core and center of your emotional life as a king. The queen on the throne beside you. She's the most precious human on the planet. And the seven generations coming after, a lot of you have kids. They're looking on 24/7 and they're like sponges. Their nervous systems are developing around what they're seeing in you. You're mapping out their nervous systems of what masculinity looks like in the world. Are you happy with what they're mapping out in their nervous system, with their imprint of this is what a man, how a man shows up in marriage? Are you happy with that? A lot of us wouldn't be. I was deeply ashamed of how I was showing up. I had a fuck ton of grief how I was showing up. But guys, you gotta face that shit, and it's okay. However you've been showing up until today, I want you like to get clear energy on this. How you've been showing up until today, again, this is the practice. Don't add shame. Oh man, I've been such a piece of shit. Like I'm just real. I've been blaming my woman. That's shame. Cut it fucking out. No shame in this context. It's direct talking, but don't start, start practicing even as you're doing this. Notice, did shame thoughts come up inside of you? Oh man, I'm such a, it's my fault. It's like, oh, I realize I've been judging her so much. Oh, I realize now I've been 80% blaming her all the time. Sure, of course, poor woman, I love her. But of course, I've been such a piece of shit, like blaming her all the time. That's fucking shame. Don't go there. Whatever you've been doing in the past, you're okay. Like, if you're waking up now, you only can be judged from your point that you consciously awake to you being the key creator in all of this. At that point, you're entirely responsible. But if you have been unconscious up until this point, stuck in a certain mode, a protective persona from childhood, if you weren't aware of it, hey man, that's okay. Was pain caused as a result of that unconsciously? Yes. But you weren't aware. So you can't really be guilty for that. You can't be held accountable. But from this moment, when you're listening to stuff like this, and you become aware of the level of blame, and aware of the level of blame and shame thoughts, and you ignore it, you're entirely responsible for that going forward. You're entirely accountable. It all changes. You can't go beyond accepting like this, such a teaching and such a radically clear thing as like the blame, shame, claim, conflict ratio. You can't accept that and bring that to your conscious awareness and then just live forevermore vomiting that out. The momentum of it coming into landing, guys, like, you know, that part, one, be aware. Two, ruthlessly rip that part out, strap him in with a suitor in the back seat. Shut the fuck up, you don't steer. Number three, you courageously regain command of your leadership perspective, your kingship in marriage by asking and answering, what am I failing to take extreme ownership of here? And then you act on that insight. You own it, you speak it, you apologize to a woman, you get back present with her. This will transform everything. What I don't want to back off here is this is might be easy to explain. It's easy to rationally get. It's like, okay, shame and blame doesn't work. I need to stop doing it. It makes sense. Unless you're completely fucking self-deluded. But then if you're completely self-deluded, nothing will make sense. So find a different podcast. But for those of you guys that aren't wanting to keep out in total self-delusion, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We'll all accept that. But it's easy to understand conceptually, but it's really an intense thing to bring that into full life in marriage. Because why? There's been a momentum of like that protective shame, blame, righteousness that has it has decades of momentum in your nervous system. And you'll find that your marriage has these entrenched roles that, you know, victim, perpetrator, all of this type shit that happens in marriage. It's quite entrenched at this point. You might only be 5 years in, but if like you're 10, 15, 20 years into marriage or more, there's a lot of momentum in the way the patterns show up in your marriage. So I would say it really does take external support. Lone wolfing on this to this level, I mean, is it possible to dig deep? I mean, it's a fucking dogfight. And especially if you're trying to go it alone and you're like down at really, really low numbers, to do that alone, it's a dogfight. I wouldn't advise it. Lone wolfing does not work on this. And I mean, it's your marriage. It's being around your kids. It's that beautiful life that you've been incessantly creating the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Like, it's having that kingdom that you can be proud of, that when you go to your deathbed, you can go, I fucking came, I saw, I fucking conquered. Yeah, man. And I gave it my all. And your all is only expressed through 100% claiming thoughts. Your all is not represented by blaming and shaming thoughts. So if you leave your marriage, but you know that you're leaving behind, like, you know, a warpath of shaming and blaming thoughts, that was not your all. That was not your 10 out of 10 best. But to get that, you're effectively giving up a lifetime of addiction to the protection of that persona that camps out and escapes to shame and blame. It takes a serious level of feedback. I call it shame and blame blind spot feedback. And that's what we're going to be doing, well, in one-on-one coaching for sure. But Heroic Husbands Men's Circle's coming up. I've been speaking to it incessantly. I want to honor courageous guys that have booked a call. It's a free call, guys. As I'm saying, you've nothing to lose. It's a free call. In the first 30, 40, 45 minutes, I will work incessantly to support you to massive, completely life-transforming insights where by the end of it, you're going to feel a level of clarity and a level of confidence moving forward in your marriage that you never believed was possible. Most guys go from, oh, they came in feeling hopeless to feeling like radically full of hope going forward, that it's like, this is fucking possible. I can turn this around. That's what's available to you at no cost to yourself, only an investment of your time, your time and your energy. So my invitation is like, you know, why would you not gift yourself that opportunity to see what is possible for you? And you can get, like, what you will get in that is an understanding and a direct experience of what, you know, the intensity of Heroic Husbands Men's Circle is like. If you can feel like that after 30 or 40 minutes, well, what happens if you do that 3 times, you know, for 3 2-hour sessions every 4 weeks and you do that long term? Or you do that for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, where does your marriage go? I mean, it's insane. It's off the charts. But if you get that level of support from me there by your side, other guys by your side, supporting you, loving you, hearing you, seeing you, making you feel safe, but at the same time having direct masculine challenge and high flame accountability and feedback, and like, we're going to be doing challenges where you go into your week, you know, it's not just about the 2 hours. It's about, like, there's going to be the self-reflective journaling. There's going to be challenges. Hey, guy, become aware of this during your week. Start doing this communication practice. Come back next week. we'll all report back how you got on. Man, marriage transformation is there. It's actually quite simple, but it just takes intense intentionality on your behalf, and it takes an environment with support, with direct feedback. It's essential. So if some of you are interested, the best time to change your marriage is 10 years ago, 20 years ago. The second best time is now. You know, if you're ready to finally drop your spiritual balls and take extreme ownership for your marriage transformation, now's the time. Stop waiting. Stop waiting, my friends. I get emotional at this point, because it's like, in the waiting, divorce papers get filed. In the waiting, you know, your wife gets to the point where her heart just freezes up. In the waiting, your heart freezes up because it's painful for you as well. And you lose hope. In the waiting, there's the risk of one or both of you losing hope. And then you stop listening to the podcast. And then at that point, it's like you've lost so much hope. It's like, well, there's no point getting in that call now. The time to book the call is today. It's now. It's when this podcast episode ends, you go down. It's always there, guys. It's incessantly there for you for free. You go, you click. It takes 2 minutes. You click, you book your free discovery call. Find a time, answer a few fantastically simple questions to answer, and you're on the call, and your life never is the same again. Your marriage is never the same again. It's that simple. And hey, if at the end of it you feel deeply inspired, and I feel that you're at a hell yeah, that your attitude, you're ready for deep work, you're ready to step into kingship, and I'm like, yeah, okay, velvet rope down, maybe Heroic Husbands could be of service to you. Maybe one-on-one coaching. Yeah, there could be some service that's there. But the call is about transforming your perspective now. It's there to you. What the fuck are you waiting for? I'm unapologetically passionate about this, because if I had this 5 years ago, or like 4 years ago, when my life was going to shit, my marriage was going to shit, if I was listening to a podcast, I'm speaking with that passion. I'm speaking to the me of 4 years ago, lost, hopeless, desperate, like scrambling out of pure necessity to try and salvage my marriage, to save myself, to save my soul, to refine myself, to find who the fuck I was and save my parenting, the wreck that my marriage was. Man, I would have been on in a heartbeat. I would have like broke down crying at that it was possible to speak to somebody. I've paid the price of getting there by myself. It's been a long, hard, fascinating, terrifying, intense, exhilarating, liberating 4 years since then. I'm making myself available to you guys. I'm expecting more calls to be coming true. You're not doing it for me. Do it for you. Do it for your family. Do it for the next 7 generations afterwards. Guys, this has been a really passionate one, as always. Feeling so much passion, so much love for you, so much appreciation for your courage to listen in, so much appreciation that you're listening in and you're putting your attention on this. Repeating why it is we do what we do here. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazing kingly day. And before you go, kingly brothers, I'm so happy to let you know that Heroic Husbands Men's Circles waiting list is now live. Online meetings supporting you up level to hero husband status. Go from fearing your best will never be good enough to becoming the competent and confident husband she brags about. Save years of needless guesswork and confidence eroding disconnection. Click on the link in the podcast description to take your first simple step to becoming the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. Check it out now.